Hey, everybody, and welcome to the SEAL podcast, episode number 49. Diving straight in, no messing around. We're recording on a Saturday. I'm super excited because it's a Saturday. I mean, that's how interesting my life is these days. I'm joined on my left by Dave.
Hello.
I'm joined on my right by Neil.
Hi.
I'm just going to say, I hope no one's counting how many times I do the left and the right and who comes first. Neil. I think I've started to fall into it's normally Dave on the left, but don't take offense, Neil.
Are you going to add it in stereo? So Dave is on the left channel.
I'm not going to do that. But before we get, you're going to distract me because I was just about to talk about something. But before we do that, I'm very pleased to announce that we are joined by yet another guest. This one, unlike that Mike Chin fellow, this is a proper guest, eh? This is podcasting royalty. We didn't scrape the barrel, this one. We had to send checks. We had to get permission from his manager. It's Mr. Greg DeLacy.
Hello. I'm excited to be here. No. Although I've got, last episode the hype level on that. People loved it. Mike was funny. Do not expect any of that on this podcast.
We never do.
Normal service will be resumed.
Yes. Yes. So let's reset that bar down low. And then if I can just about hurdle it, I'll be happy. Yeah. Am I your first American on the podcast, by the way?
Yeah, it must be.
I think so.
Huh? Welcome.
breaking ground and bread with my fellow Canadians and UK brethren.
It's taken 49 episodes for us to get rid of our prejudice.
And I guarantee you, by the way, I will reset that prejudice after we're done with the podcast. And you guys are going to be like, never again.
It's great to have you on the show, Greg.
It is good to be here.
I'm going to jump before I ask you how you are, and we'll get into all that sort of stuff. I was just wondering, interesting that Dave said there about going into doing, was it Dave or Neil said something about going into one ear and putting it into stereo?
No. Yes.
Have you ever heard, occasionally it pops up when people start podcasting. See, we can talk like this because we're podcasting experts, right? But when somebody does a new podcast, they think they're doing very clever, and one of the hosts will be in the left ear and the other host will be in the right ear, and it's fucking terrible, right?
Do not record things in just record it on a mono channel. It'll go into both ears. It's so much better that way.
Yeah, never do that ever. Yeah. There's our podcast even. Yeah.
It's not great when you listen with one earphone, is it?
Exactly. No, I was just going to bring up that example because that's how I discovered how annoying that was. I was listening to a podcast and I had Bluetooth earbuds in that one died. And so I took it out and suddenly half the podcast was cutting out because it was the other freaking ear. So yeah, don't do that. Just there you go.
Yeah.
We're already PSAing. This is good.
Yeah, no, this is it. We have to impart our wisdom where we can. We have to, at some point, try and make ourselves feel useful.
Yes.
Greg, how's it going? California on fire again.
Yeah, the whole state is burning. It's insane. this is story time for you guys. So about a week and a half back, we had this crazy lightning and thunderstorm that more or less kind of hit all of California. It kind of was in the southern area, moved up north, and it was at a time where we've also been having this extreme heat waves. And so everybody was all about this thunder and lightning because they were just incredible lightning strikes. All kinds of pictures came out of it. Unfortunately, literally hundreds of fires were started by this lightning strikes. and subsequently, about 23 are actually major out of control fires throughout the state. So if you look, you can look online. You'll see maps of California right now, and it's all of California is on fire. I live in an area where I'm safe. There's no actual fires near me, but we are caught up in all of the wind patterns of some of the major fires. So right now, when I look out my window, it looks like it's a completely overcast, foggy day. And that is completely from smoke, nothing else. Mm-hmm. So you're sitting outside, you'll literally see ash falling out of the air. Yeah. It's a very surreal feeling. And so... obviously not healthy to be outside in this kind of weather for any length of time. So it just is adding to 2020. I don't think this year could get any better at this point.
Oh, it's not getting better. That's for sure.
No.
No. Yeah, that's pretty crazy. I mean, we laugh about it, but I mean, that's pretty serious. So you said there's 23.
Like, last I had heard there were 23. So my, in terms of my family also, I have a sister and brother-in-law that live in Scotts Valley, which is kind of, on the way from the Bay Area to Santa Cruz, trying to give people the Monterey County, Monterey Bay area. And they had to evacuate their home, yesterday. I have an aunt and uncle that live further north in an area called Boulder Creek, and they also already had to evacuate their house. They don't know if their house has survived yet or not. My sister and brother-in-law are just on the fringe, so they might be okay, but it's been insane. And I just found out one of the national parks, Big Basin, it's a very famous park for giant redwood trees. Apparently got hit by the fire as well. And so it's just been devastating. It's insane.
Yeah. So, yeah, wow. I mean, we laugh, but that's not funny. So fingers crossed for obviously for your family. And
yeah,
I appreciate that.
Yeah. So I'm interested in, like, is this, would fires be like
cares about my family?
I no one cares about more. I'm more interested in the rabbits. Are they safe now? Like, do you have the fires every year? Is that like, because you came up with a very specific number, like 23. Like, how does that?
Yeah,
I'm fascinated by that. That you like, would you be having these fires every year? Would you know?
We get big fires every year, and I would say over the course of a year we might get, you know, maybe 10 to 15 big wildfires,
right?
In a year. Sometimes there's a little bit more. Like last year was actually a pretty bad year for wildfires, and the year before that was even worse. So we've been just kind of up in our game a little bit. All of these starting at the same time was pretty unique. Yeah. That doesn't usually happen.
Yeah. We actually, I'll stick my flag in here. We actually had fires like a couple of years ago. It can happen up here. It's obviously not as common. Nothing like you guys with your extreme heat down there and whatnot. But we had it the same up here. Like there was a couple of years ago, and it was just weird, right? For us, not used to it.
Well, but you guys are lucky though. Don't you have like snow year round?
Well, they nearly melted my igloo, Greg.
I'll end up, Fraser. The pictures I've seen of your surrounding area, they have always been of snow for some reason. And there was a couple times where your house was practically, it looked like it was buried in snow. So I don't know if that was a vacation place you had gone to. You know, full disclosure, I wasn't paying that much attention. But it was like up to like the top of the doorway type snow. So,
yeah, we get a lot of snow. There were a lot of places last year, like the East Coast. So if you get down into the Maritimes, which is Nova Scotia and whatnot, over by the Atlantic, you know, they get this driving weather in from the Atlantic. Like England would get driving rain in from the Atlantic. Canada gets that same sort of driving rain, but it turns into snow when it comes in here. And like they got absolutely battered last year. Like that was the top of the doorway sort of, you know.
Yeah.
But then there's parts of America, I think, got hit last year as well, like 4 feet in a day or something crazy.
New York was bad, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah, good. Anyway, weather.
Yeah, fun. Apparently also there's two, just to continue on the weather thing, apparently there's two hurricanes in the Gulf of Mexico that are coming up together.
Why not?
That should be the tagline for 2020. Why not?
Yeah, for sure.
Bring it on.
Greg, do you have a go bag? Do you have a, like, are you ready to go if I say get your stuff and leave?
Not at all. Not at all. Well, I mean, it's never been something, you know, where I've lived in my lifetime. I've never really needed a go bag. Let me back that up. I probably should have a go bag, but everybody should probably have a go bag. And it should be stocked with toilet paper because apparently that is the most valuable thing in emergencies. But no, yeah, I haven't thought that.
That's how we will trade apocalypse.
Yeah. I mean, my go bag right now is my cell phone, my keys, and my wife and kid. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Do any of you have a go bag? Just out of curiosity, or are you just, you know, talking out your ass and not actually prepared?
UK. What do we have to worry about in the UK?
What threats are there in the UK? They're not weather.
No.
Only human ones.
I have a camping sort of, all my camping stuff is set up. So if ever I was told
next to the car.
It's in the garage, but yeah. Like I suppose I could just chuck that in the back. But it doesn't have, like, as you say, toilet paper or like decent food.
Fails.
But, yeah.
Would you believe so? I have this image of it's go time in Dave's house. You need to go. Dave grabs the go bag, throws it in the car. Opens the door, throws his daughter in the car. The wife gets in the car. Dave gets on his bike and just and hares it. Right?
See ya.
He's not leaving the bike, are you?
I thought the bike was going to go in the boot. Just
wife and kids that are standing at the front door. No.
Dave's object of desire.
No. It's yeah, I've been having fun with it this week.
The bike or the go bag?
The bike. Yeah, oh my God.
Greg, do you have objects of desire? An object of desire? Like, I know you got to. I know you have to take your wife and kid. Like, if you got to go, but is there something that you'd be eyeing out of the corner of your eye, thinking, I could leave one of them? You know,
it's funny you said that, because as we started talking about this, I'm like looking around my office. I'm like, what would I bring? And I instantly like looked at my laptop, which is a sad, sad thing. But I think that might be something I would be grabbing, is some kind of electronic equipment to bring with me.
Something, something to salvage.
Yeah. And outside of that, there's, you know, some picture albums we'd probably be throwing into the car. I'm not like, at least on the surface, as I'm talking about this, there's nothing that's jumping out at me like, oh my God, we need to bring that. Well, actually, I take it all back. My gun actually would be part of the go bag. If we're at a point that I'm evacuating and freaking out like that, yeah, the gun is coming with me.
Let's talk about your gun then, shall we?
All right.
What kind of gun is it?
I own a Glock 17.
Is that any good?
Gangstery.
A 9mm pistol. I got this, gosh, I was probably 25, 26 when I bought it. I had visions at that point in time of joining the police department. And so I was testing with San Jose Police Department, got into the oral boards, which is pretty far into the process. But apparently I did not know how to handle domestic violence situations properly. Anybody taking a test like that?
So you're supposed to just know that before you join the police.
Always separate them. I just was like, I took his word for it, you know. Whatever. Now you always separate them out. That was my big mistake. So I had bought the pistol back then, and so I've had it ever since. Bought it legally, registered all that stuff back then, but I know there's been lots of things that have happened since then. I just started to realize it is possible. This might not be a legal firearm now based on my magazine size.
Oh,
was that's a California 15? Law. No, it's 17 rounds.
It's one of them drum ones with like about 1,000 bullets.
Yeah, no, but yeah, apparently I believe there is a law in California you are not allowed to own a clip size of more than 10.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Well, I don't think you're going to be on anyone's radar.
No. Only until I bring it out in front of my house and point it at people.
Ugh. Well, then you get invited to speak at the Republican convention, right?
Exactly. That's the end goal.
It's the plus side. The plus side. good. Man. Okay. Actually, you know, I was going to say, you know, what I was going to talk about, just to throw it in there, something to talk about. I mean, we talk about go bags and things that you care about. I honestly, if I was leaving, and as long as I could get my kids and my wife and my dog out, I could almost, like you say, probably some photo albums. Like right. We're old enough now that we have actual physical photographs, right? That are digitized. That's the stuff that's important, right? You know, all my digital stuff, I back up and I have offsite anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the other stuff, I mean, you're not going to be trying to grab furniture. You're not, you know, I mean, I suppose food, but I mean, that's not really sentimental value. Everything is, you know, for the vast majority of everything we own now, in somehow or another, it's going to be able to be retrieved digitally or at least replaced easy enough. So, yeah, there's not a whole lot. I think I would be like, I need to grab this and go. I don't know. Maybe one of my office file cabinets. I might just grab it and pull it out and throw it in the back. You know, things like car insurance documentation, house, you know, insurance information. That I might want to bring with me just for ease.
Yeah, now, no, that one there is just like because you know it's going to be such a ball ache.
Oh god,
oh, yeah, like,
yeah. I could not imagine
vehicle registry and yeah.
Oh, I feel like I've got a few jobs to do in the next week now.
Take pictures of everything.
That's not a bad idea. Yeah,
it is not.
Go on.
No. I was just gonna say, but that's. I mean, you know, again, going back to the go back thing. I mean, it's funny because you hear people talk about it, and it sounds like a smart thing to do. But I mean, in my head, a go bag is more like a bunch of like water bottles and MRE rations. You know, something that you could eat and kind of keep you going for a little while because you're completely in an apocalyptic situation. But I just can't see that happening. Even with the pandemic happening and everybody like buying up all the toilet paper in the world, there was still plenty of food. You may not have wanted to eat that particular type of food because everything that you did want was gone, but there was at least something.
Yeah, we still had caviar on the shelves at the supermarket.
Oh, all right then. I'll eat caviar.
Yeah, yeah. What if you don't have crackers, though?
I suppose with my motorbike gear, I always have a pocket of enough cash to get a tank full of fuel in case I forget my wallet. So, like, I suppose you should sort of put some money aside, like, you know.
Well, or if you have the gun, you don't need the money.
You might be able to get to the station on your bike,
whereas no one else will be.
I was saying the one thing actually that I would probably pick up, I've got it on hand now, is my multi-tool. That has saved me, like, just around the house a number of times where just random just wants to grab like a screwdriver or a pair of pliers or clippers or knife. So that is something that I'd definitely want to take.
Children won't go to bed, grab the Leatherman. Pliers.
tooth coming loose. Joink. yeah. That's I think that's a really good shout for a multi-tool, just a sort of a dual device. Yeah,
that and if I could speak English, I would. A torch or a flashlight in the vehicle. Not everybody carries one, but that's a good thing to have just in there.
Just one on my phone, mate. Phone's got one.
No, that's a good point. Fair enough. Okay. All you need is your phone.
Compass phone. All you need.
Yep. Seriously, yeah. My bank account information's on there. I've got my pictures on there, most of them at least, you know, and I've got a flashlight. I don't need anything more.
Just need to put some sort of clip in it.
I can stream games.
Yes.
all right, I'm going to shift gears and complain about one more thing real quickly. This is just another one of those dumb life things. So we bought a new SUV, probably 2 months back. Bought a Kia Telluride.
That's a big old unit.
Yeah, I never thought I would buy a Kia. I always had the kind of Hyundai feel to it, of the old Hyundai. And they've come around full circle, and it's an awesome SUV. But about 2 months in, I noticed the rear back tire is starting to go flat. big old hunkin screw was stuck, and it was right on the corner of the sidewall and the tread, so they couldn't patch it. Nice. And of course, the dealership's like, "Well, you're right around 3,000 miles. We're not going to do anything for you." And so we ended up having to actually replace the tire. But thankfully, the tire shop we went to, they were actually pretty cool. They gave it to us for 50% off because we were getting screwed.
Hey, he's here all week, folks.
I didn't even mean that, by the way.
Yeah. It just comes naturally.
Yep. How much is a Telluride tire? 50% off then. Go on, give us the numbers.
Well, full price, they were about $225, I believe, a tire.
It's not a cheap tire, is it? Yeah.
What is a Telluride? A Telluride?
Yeah,
that must have a different name over it. I don't think
that would be on the UK roads. It's a
big one. Is it really big one, is it?
Yeah, it's a three-row SUV.
Basically a minivan.
It's a truck, isn't it? Practically a truck.
We're talking, we get, what are they called? Like the Ford Rangers and stuff like that over here. So is it bigger than that?
Do you have like a Ford Escape or anything? What's the SUV you guys have?
Cougar is the appropriate
thing. It looks very similar to the Land Rover Discovery, I think it is.
Yeah.
It's one of the Land Rovers that has the multiple rows in the back. So it's similar to that in size.
I'd say it's as big as a Range Rover.
But they're not that big.
Range Rover, well, the new Range Rovers are better. The old Range Rovers, which I know you guys love and cherish, they are top-heavy, ugly beasts. There's my controversial opinion.
Range Rovers were shit.
Range Rovers, unless if you like garage bills, Range Rovers, your man, right? For sure. But I like them. I just could never own one. Even the guy who sells them said, don't buy one, right?
Yeah. We all know if it's not a Jag, you won't even look at it.
Well, the guy who sells me Jags, he does Range Rovers too. But I was like, I wouldn't mind a Range Rover. He's like, don't do it. Don't.
Does he specialize in ridiculous cars over there?
He just does just Jaguar Land Rover. That's it. So
Neil, these cars are so big that you even get an alert on your smartphone if there's somebody in the rear seat because you don't know when
you can't see them.
Yeah,
they do have a child alarm to where which also, by the way, kind of sucks because if you put like a heavy bag of groceries or something on the back seat, it will think there's a child on the back seat, and if you leave the car, it'll start beeping at you. you could turn it off, but anyway.
I thought I had something fancy like that in my car the other day because my alarm started going off as I was leaving this supermarket car park. It turns out I hadn't shut my boot properly. So it's just like loads of alarms going, what the hell's going on?
Oi, 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 oi.
Now, one thing it does have, which, the whole self-driving car stuff, I always was like, it's a bunch of malarkey. But when you put this car into cruise control, it will adjust your speed according to how far ahead you want it to be from the next car. So you can kind of set the distance.
Can you set it to tailgate someone?
Pretty much. And as they slow down, it will slow down and keep the distance uniform. And it does lane assist. Only when you put the cruise control on, otherwise it would drive me nuts. But it literally, as long as it's a gradual curve, you don't have to keep your hand on the steering wheel. It will take you through that curve. It's kind of crazy. And then it yells, it knows when you don't have your hands on the steering wheel. So it says, flashes up, keep your hands on the steering wheel.
So that's when you don't take your hands to the steering wheel and just nod off.
It actually makes driving long trips a lot easier, especially like going through the mountain ranges where, you're having to grip the steering wheel because you're doing a lot of turning, that kind of thing. I put it on cruise control, went to see my folks up in Reno, and it was one of the easiest drives I've ever done because I did not have to worry about trying to keep my lane. Also, fun fact, probably helpful if I've been drinking and then trying to get home.
Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly. But a disclaimer on that. Yeah, I haven't actually tried it, obviously.
No, not at all. Yeah.
Well, as you can see, this is pretty much the format for the show. As much as we don't want to, we are going to have to read out the tweets from people because we asked them. No, I'm just kidding. Friend of the show, Andy Cox, says, hello, everyone. Hope you and yours are all well. And thanks for last week's 3-hour spectacular. With Q Magazine closing this month and magazine sales in general declining, my question is, did you ever regularly buy any type of magazine? For example, over the years, I used to regularly buy Smash Hits, Melody Maker, Mix Mag, DJ Mag, and Word Magazine, mostly music ones, but very few gaming ones. Oh, yeah, I used to also buy Plumpers Monthly and Housewives in Peril. No, you didn't do that. Only PlayStation Power in the mid-90s and occasionally Edge in the 2000s.
I have to take your word for it that those are legit magazines, by the way, Fraser.
Allegedly.
I will be searching Plumper Monthly.
I think I used to... Nintendo Power was a magazine, I think. I definitely remember having a lot of magazines of those. Because I had a SNES and a N64. But I can't think of any others I regularly had.
No, I can chime in here. I actually recently subscribed to Edge Magazine because I thought I needed to do something when I was out in the UK at the EGX show last year. So I subscribed to a magazine for some dumb reason.
What do you mean? What do you mean you needed to do something? I don't understand.
I wanted things to take back, right? I was like, you know, I bought some T-shirts and then I saw the Edge Magazine display and they were like, oh, you can get a game controller with it and we'll sign you up to a subscription. I was like, you know what? We don't get Edge over here and it looks like a really nice, good magazine to get for gaming. And I was like, yeah, you know, I haven't read one of them.
Piling up. That's what happens. Actually, I can. Did I talk to you? Actually, Greg, I think you responded to one of my posts when I was going on about Maclean's, which is like a news magazine that I bought a subscription to for my dad in England. I bought it for Christmas.
Right.
And I just got the check back from them this week for my refund because they didn't deliver one magazine. Like I was just by the time 6 months rolled around, I was like, you guys aren't delivering any of the magazines I've paid for. Can I have a refund? You know, and it took me 6 weeks to get the refund back out of start processing it.
Why weren't they sending it? Were they not making the magazine or something?
I have no idea. So like, you know, I paid for the magazine to be delivered to my dad. Like it's a Canadian news magazine. I paid for it to be delivered to him in England. And then that was just too much for them. They just couldn't get one copy to him. I was like, even if they'd sent one copy, I probably would have forgotten about it. So, but yeah, when I was a kid, I was Smash Hits. Probably NME was my music magazine, New Music Express. And I was always into comics as well. So maybe not so much magazines, but comics I liked. I would buy comics regularly, like 2000 AD or... what was the other one we were talking about the other day that was only around for a while, but was Scream, which was like a horror.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Scream. Mm. You know, magazines, they are absolutely dying, but I think I can't see like magazine and print completely going away for good forever. I think what will happen is we will get down to a very small amount, but it's going to be content driven. None of this is going to be timely news stuff. And I think that's the big difference of magazines and newspapers of today versus yesteryears, because in the old days, and I say that way, it makes me sad to say that, but I mean, you know, you got your news from magazines and newspapers. And now you get it off your phone before the news channels even get it.
Yeah.
So I can't see any magazine being relevant if they're trying to be a news source. But if they have good content and they got a good hook, then maybe they can survive.
Yeah, I think I agree. I used to buy loads of computer game mags when I was younger. I think I started off on Zap 64, my Commodore 64.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I forgot to mention Crash. So that was mine.
That was your Spectrum one.
Yeah. But I would even enjoy reading. I loved reading Zap as well. Around that time, both of those magazines I would read.
I never read Crash. You know, it was a bit beneath me.
Commodore owners.
And then I used to buy the ST magazines, whatever that was. Can't remember ST format. And then I bought PC format. They always have loads of discs and stuff on. So I never bought anything other than video games.
I think I definitely remember having some PC ones actually, because I remember having the demo discs, but yeah. I can't remember the magazines behind it. I think I just literally bought them for the demos and the stuff on the CDs.
But yeah, magazines nowadays definitely need to be doing something a bit special. It needs to be. I think people, there is definitely a demand for that kind of thing, I reckon. People want something that's not on a phone, probably, or on the TV screen. It'd be, but it's got to be the right stuff in it, sort of thing. So.
Agreed.
Thanks, Andy, very much. Appreciate it as usual. Actually, I also used to buy Mixmag. They used to do some great CDs. So I'm with you on that one. Stuart Cullen, friend of the show, says, both barrel question, as I was busy last week with Stadia testing on 4G, 5G. Could this be a lifeline in light of Microsoft's rise as a streaming power? Stadia questions. Stuart's beating me into the ground with these Stadia questions. What does he mean? With Stadia testing on 4G and 5G, could this be a lifeline in light of Microsoft's rise as a streaming power?
Right, because Stadia right now is only Wi-Fi.
Is it?
That was my understanding, is you weren't able to do a 4G, 5G connection, but I could be totally wrong. I don't know.
Stadia take, Greg? Give us your Stadia take.
Well, here's my Stadia take. I was in on the beta for Stadia. So I played Assassin's Creed Odyssey on Stadia. It was great. I can honestly say I did not have any real issue with it. I think Stadia's biggest problem is they tried to launch this service out without content. They launched it out thinking everybody would just jump on it, but there was no reason to jump on it. And also, let's face the facts, they said and promised all of these things for launch, and then the reality was a lot of those things were missing at launch. I think Stadia is still potentially a threat, but it's a 5-year, 6-year threat, not a in the coming year, next year threat. They need more content. Baldur's Gate 3, while it's great that it's coming to Stadia, at first, that is not a big enough game to drive people to, the ecosystem. And that is the biggest thing for this. Stadia is attached to Google, and Google is notorious for killing off programs that don't have immediate success. So how long term is Google going to play for Stadia? You know, are they going to let it, flounder for a couple years? Or is it, is this coming year do or die for Stadia? Mm-hmm.
The numbers, the meetings they must be having and looking at the numbers can't be good, can they?
Oh, they're horrific. No, they're horrific.
So at what point are they having these weekly meetings where they're going, oh, shit, right? Like, someone somewhere must be going, you've got to be kidding me.
They just need to find their audience. They need an audience that's not PC or PlayStation, or console-based, that wants to get this content.
You know what would do it? Something like Roblox. They have to completely shift their audience to like parents who want their kids on Minecraft and Roblox, and all they have to do is buy Stadia, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or Minecraft.
They can just do all that stuff anyway on the phones, can't they? So,
the thing about Stadia, we forget, and again, I think this was actually a misstep by them. They launched with their paid service first. It was not a good service at launch. So you had this paywall to get in and be a beta tester on a service that just wasn't living up to what they promised. Then they rolled out the free service, which actually is out now. You don't have to subscribe to Stadia. You can just buy a game on Stadia and only pay for the game and play it on Stadia. And as long as you're cool with 1080p, which quite honestly, even their pro version plays half the time in 1080p.
Yeah.
So, I don't see there's no reason to actually buy into the 4K streaming service side for Stadia. Just do the free service. And that could be, I think, where they find some success.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't even know what you can buy on there, to be honest. Like what games you can actually buy on there.
Yeah. Baldur's Gate 3 is. Serious Sam 4. Wasn't Serious Sam 4 an exclusive get?
Oh, I spoke about that. That was,
it's on PC as well, isn't it, when it comes out. Yeah. That's going to be a console.
That's a garbage game, I suppose. I don't know anybody that is excited to play Serious Sam.
I don't think I've ever played one, to be honest.
It's not good.
I think I played a demo of one 20, 30 years ago.
So it seems like a game from the 1990s.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, Serious Sam's just... It's cock and ball torture, that game. It's just... it's not fun to play. It's things screaming. I mean, it's a shooter. They're good shooters, but there's things screaming at you, and it's super hectic. It's just... I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like heavy metal shoes. It's like just a heavy metal version.
It's just like watching a YouTube channel of people, like young teens playing games.
That's right, yeah.
Oh, God.
The second part of Stuart's question was about Baldur's Gate going into early access. Could they capitalize? So I think we've covered that. Could they?
Could Maybe. They? Not if it's on PC.
Yeah.
That's the problem. It's you know, there's always the PC option, and that goes for the Xbox X Cloud as well. There's always your PC option. So,
Jay says, you've been in suspended animation for a century. You wake up, there's a PC with internet next to your bed. What do you look up first?
What? Jay. What's a PC?
Yeah.
What's this fucking
First of all, is there a box of tissues? Second of all, it's been a century.
Yeah. It all, yeah. I mean, is it like morning? Because, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'd try to look up my family, I suppose.
I'd want to know my share prices. Like, have any of them survived, and really, where are they at now?
How are you not in
stocks in 100 years ago, then, you think would have done all right?
Yeah, right.
How are you not, by the way, Fraser, in the podcast stock talk on WhatsApp? Why, Bongo has he's creating a Ponzi scheme with a bunch of different podcast community members to go in and buy, you know, day trading on, I think it was an app called 212. So,
I have some, like, I stocks are one of those things. Like, every so often I, you know, if I get my bonus at the end of the year, I may like go buy some here or there just to put something together for later on. I've lost so much money on buying stupid stocks, right? I'm just an absolute moron most of the time when I buy them. I'm like, oh yeah, that looks pretty cool.
It's money that you don't, it's not like,
I don't miss it.
No, that's I think that's fair enough. It's if you're sort of, I don't know, gambling away your next meal, hoping that there's on your next stock. Yeah, that's when it gets bad. But I guess, well, I've got we've got premium bonds, so
have we?
Yeah. So have I guess we'll,
do you know what premium bonds are, Greg?
Not a clue.
So I had premium bonds, and stop me if I'm wrong. Or Dave, you can explain what they are.
No, go on, you go with your interpretation of what a premium bond is.
Well, as far as I'm aware, you're sort of buying a bond from the government. And what the government does is, rather than pay you interest back on the bond, they take all the interest that they would pay out on the bonds, and they make a sort of a lottery out of it, right? And so the more bonds you have, the more chance you have of winning a cash prize.
Pretty much it.
Isn't that just like the lottery?
Not really, because you're going to get your bond money back when you cash them in. So I say back in the late 90s, I think it was, early 2000s, I bought $2,000 worth of premium bonds, right? With the hope that I would get like £100 here a month, £100. I did not get the 10% back on my money whatsoever. Mm. Right. But it's solid, right? You know, you're not going to lose the money. They're not going to go down in value. So,
well, other than inflation, yeah, you are going to lose.
Yeah, exactly. Inflation will kill it. So we have bonds, but not, I've never heard the concept of premium bonds out here. So, either way, I tend not to want to invest in government. I'd rather go tech sector, pharma, things like that.
What would you, anyone else got anything they would look up on this PC? Or you're all with me, we're going porn. Come on.
We're going porn, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, in fairness, the date would be kind of good to know.
They, like, the general sort of government type that you're in at the moment, whether it's, you know,
yeah,
Marxist or just, yeah. I don't know.
Just, well, you've got a piece of your bed off. You've just woken up 100 years. Pretty sure it's not going to be a Marxist state you're in.
Actually, I would just type in AOL.com just to see if it's still around.
Yeah, see if your MySpace page is still out.
Or just Google, you know, if Google still exists as it, you know, as a front page. I don't know.
Are we assuming, like, you've woken up 100 years from now? Or, like, because if you just woke up 100 years now, they'd be like,
yeah. I wonder if the concept of, like, the internet is still going to be, like, as we know it, is going to be the same. Like, is it something that you look up on a PC? Is it something that, a physical terminal has access to, or is it just sort of implanted into your face?
Yeah, I mean, the machines will have killed us all by then anyway, so.
Probably. Yeah, I mean, you know, are you waking up, you see the PC, and then you see the three shells next to it?
He doesn't know what to do with the three shells. Speaking of internet, did anyone see that news article on they've set the world's fastest data transmission this week?
No.
No.
So I wish I'd prepared for this, but I haven't prepared for it. But University College London recorded the world's fastest. Yeah, I know. 178 terabits a second. They managed to push data.
That was the download.
They put in that free.
Some clever pieces of equipment that none of us will have.
They could have just said anything then. It's just like through the air.
I don't know what you'd have to read the article, but I did read something though, where they said.
I was going to say, talk about internet though. The whole notion of download speed, I'm actually jumping off that bandwagon. I'm now more keen and interested when I'm talking about providers about what their upload speeds are. Because frankly, that is a bigger issue, I think, than a lot of people realize.
Mm. If you're a creator, yeah, definitely.
Well, even for things like video chatting and podcasting, things like that, where you're pushing information back out to somebody, a lot of these services around here cap at 10 megabits up, I think is where they cap out at.
That's what we get pretty much. Yeah. A good one,
so
I'd say.
I kind of want to get off of my current provider, which I'm 100 down, but I'm 20 up. And I kind of like the thought of being able to push a good fair amount up. So
20 up's quite a bit, I'd say. I don't know.
Yeah.
So they said here that the speed they recorded would enable you to download 1,500 4K movies, which are about 15 gig each. You could download 1,500 of them in a second.
Right. Yeah, and you would get about a millisecond into that, and then you'd be hit with a data cap.
The bill, yeah, the bill you're going to get is going to be phenomenal.
We have added extra memory, or extra bandwidth at a premium.
Paul W. says, were The Last of Us 2 and Ghost of Tsushima delayed on purpose to help Sony sell the PS5 due to the two games clearly symbolizing that Sony have the best exclusive titles? Were they delayed on purpose? I'm not up on my Sony as much as some people, so
I think they showcase the fact that PlayStation has excellent titles on their system.
Yeah, but I don't think they were delayed on purpose. No. I know The Last of Us 2, if I remember correctly, it got delayed and they were a little leery of I want to say like the pandemic stuff happening.
Yeah.
And so they decided to push it out to try and give it some breathing space from kind of the negative stories happening. And then they realized it was not stopping. So they just said, fuck it, we'll release it.
Yeah. Rather than we're going to delay our game about the end of the world while everyone is dealing with the end of the world.
but I will say, if they really wanted to sell PlayStation 5s, then they would have done what they did with Spider-Man Morales, which is arbitrarily make it exclusive to the PlayStation 5 and push it out to the PlayStation. So they didn't do that. I think if anything, this could hurt PlayStation 5 sales because it shows a very capable PS4 being able to play great exclusives that look visually great and they're great stories. So, I don't necessarily know this was a move to try and push PS5 sales.
No, it's inevitable. There's going to be some great games coming for the PS5 in a similar vein, I'd say. But
yeah,
I don't know what any of them are at the minute, though, to be honest.
Well, that's the thing. To be honest, I think they should have pushed one of these into the PlayStation 5 window and given it the up-res treatment. Maybe Ghost of Tsushima could have been that game. They could have said, you know what? We've pushed Last of Us 2 to July. There's no reason to release Ghost of Tsushima now. Let's push it out to the launch window because we have nothing else coming out in the launch window except for a Spider-Man Morales kind of remake of Spider-Man. So that could have been a really good combo. I don't know. Great games. I don't think the PS5 is going to have any problem selling anyway, but
no.
I don't think they need to help the sales with those games for sure.
No, this PS5 is going to sell out big time, I think, when it comes out. I don't, like I said, I don't know what game you're going to be able to get that you can't get elsewhere other than Spider-Man. And they would never delay those games, I don't think, because there's whatever 120 million PS4s out there, potential sales, where there's only going to be a million, maybe, PS5s.
I think there's the Spider-Man game, and then I want to say it's Gran Turismo 7 coming out.
That was a look to, I thought that was way off yet. I thought.
I'm not sure.
Coming out.
But that's also been the problem with both these console makers. We don't really know, have a clear vision of what we're getting. We don't even know how much we're going to have to pay.
When are we going to get some prices?
I think Xbox did do their price, or it's been leaked.
No. There's been leaks of both of them, basically sort of $600, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, that's been the rumored leaks, but nothing official.
Right.
It's driving me kind of crazy because they're both playing this weird game of chicken with one another. Like nobody wants to go first. And I think that actually, if nothing else, that should be preparing us all for consoles that are going to be expensive.
Because that says one thing, doesn't it?
Yeah. Cause I mean, if they knew they were going to launch it at $400, they would not be waiting. They would be out there being like, our console $399. You are going to, you know, just like last time, you're going to be stoked for it. And we're going to be $500 to $600. I can almost guarantee it. And I'm fearful we might be north of that.
Oh, I think we are.
Yeah.
But I also have seen people just saying they just cannot for the life of me or the life of them or whatever, how you want to phrase it, cannot figure out how they could possibly be under a high amount with what they're putting into these consoles. Mm. Yeah. And on top of that, I also had somebody come into my office this week who has a friend of a friend who's in the electronics industry. And he said I can't remember whether he said he's heard it or whatever, but the conversation was these things are not going to be out. They're not going to make it to market.
They're not going to come out this year.
No. He thinks there's going to be massive delays in components and whatever that just...
Xbox have already, they said recently, didn't they? They're definitely coming out in November.
Yeah, I don't know.
When they delayed Halo, yeah.
And Sony, to their credit, I mean, they bumped their projections up from 5 million to 10 million. So they're bullish on how much they're going to sell. I think that's also a large part because of video games have exploded during the pandemic. If there's one industry that's done very well, it's been video games.
Oh, yeah.
Video games always seem to do well in times of shitness.
We like to retreat. We like to retreat to our cave. well, hopefully we'll have something soon.
I can't see us going past August with no price.
There's not a long left of August, though, is there? Really?
I know. Well, Gamescom's next week, so that's my hope is maybe somebody comes forward. Just bites the bullet, and then that will free up the other console maker to say, okay, fine, we can give our price now too.
Is any of this on your radar, Greg? Theoretically, they come in at a price point. Would you have your hand? I mean, you've just bought a nice big fat brand new truck, so I don't know how's yeah. the wallet still on, it's on fire as the forest next to you, or is it? Do you think you'd?
You know, I am cautiously excited. I'll say I was more excited in June about these new consoles. And as I've seen these reveals happening, I've gotten a little less excited because, I mean, outside of Ratchet and Clank, that's the one game that I think really wowed me more than any other game, you know, that said, you know, it felt pretty next gen, but that also is not going to be until 2021. So it's kind of like, okay, well, what do we have this holiday to excite me? And they're not showing off the systems, really. They're not giving me the excitement of the hardware. I mean, they've shown pictures, but I haven't seen it running. I want them to say, here's our dashboard. Here's how games load up. This is how fast they are now. Here's how easy it is to transition from this game to this game to this game. And give me comparison. Show me the differences. And I'm just not seeing that. So it's hard for me with a lack of software to be excited about to then be excited for the hardware when they're not even giving me anything to get excited about the hardware.
That's interesting because they keep banging on about all this great new features, but they've not really, like you say, they've not shown any of it actually in action.
Yeah. They talked about it a ton, but I haven't seen it real.
Spider-Man loads in like half a second, but apparently Ghost of Tsushima on the PS4 loads incredibly quickly. So whatever they've done there is.
but even when they've shown us these, and I think they did the same thing with State of Decay 2, they showed us kind of the differences at loading, but the Spider-Man thing, I don't even think it was ever officially done. I think that was a leaked video that showed that. So I've never seen Sony just being like, here's the console sitting on a table. We've got it hooked up to a TV and we're going to show you this. You know, when I see it on a screen, like a YouTube video where it's taking up the whole screen and they're doing the side-by-side comparisons, sometimes I still feel like there's a little bit of behind the scenes magic going on where they're not showing me everything. Right. So I just want to see somebody with hands on console in front of them. No, there's no strings, you know, no wires, nothing, you know, it's all real.
Secret hidden PC under the desk.
Exactly. Exactly.
Let's move on then to what we've got on for the week. I don't that there's not much in there, but I know, I think Neil, right. we're going to cross over on this thing. Cause we talked about this on text that we've both been watching. Is that called High Score? I was talking to somebody High about Score, it and said it was called Game Over. I don't know. Same thing.
Oh, God.
It's going to be searching.
Do you do a video game podcast, Fraser? I don't know if you heard about video games.
Oh, look, I've been going around telling everybody to watch The Umbrella Chronicles. It's not even called that, is it?
That's like Resident Evil game, isn't it?
Oh, that's why I keep saying it. Yeah.
Yeah. Umbrella Academy, though, is quite good.
It's probably the one you've never played.
I've never played it.
Yeah, so everyone keeps saying Umbrella Academy is good. My wife started watching it without me.
Yeah, no,
me,
you
so
catch up. Catch up.
It's like that, good. Is it now?
It is good.
Yeah.
High Score, yes. I watched the first one.
Just one?
Just one. I wanted to watch
I'm about halfway through the last one now. There's only six episodes. Yeah.
Oh, I've watched three.
Yeah.
Well, I only watched one, so...
What was in the first one?
The first one was started talking about sort of the early days of video games and Pong and Atari, and then it stopped, talked about Space Invaders and the guy who developed Space Invaders and then Pac-Man and all this. And my take on it all is that we have been involved in games long enough that we really know a lot about the history. So I was sort of half expecting to be just fed stuff that like, yeah, I know all this, right? I've read it all. I have books on the history of video games and whatever there's. Right. But they covered a couple of things which were absolutely fascinating, right? They in the first episode, they talked about these guys from MIT who started doing the mod kits Space Invade. Oh, no, for Missile Command. Missile Command.
Yep, Missile Command.
Okay. And then how they got embroiled in into a battle with Atari and how they got through that. I mean, when when it went into that, I was just like, holy smokes, that is just an amazing story, right? Mm. And please just keep people, just record these stories where you can, because, you know, you look at the guy who invented Space Invaders, he ain't got much time left, right? And the guy who, you know, the pack, you know, it's time is marching on, right? We've been, this is 40 years ago we're talking now.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's really good. Really good. I recommend anyone to watch. It really seems to be really well made.
Yeah. If anybody's curious as to what it's like, this reminds me very much. It's like the video game version of The Toys That Made Us.
Right.
I never watched that, but I get a similar vibe. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, that's a great series as well. If you've never seen that, just again, it's lifting the curtain. It's showing all the behind the scenes dealings of all of these things that were part of our youth, including video games now with Highscore. And as Fraser pointed out, you know, you learn these things about the guys from MIT. Never heard that story before until Highscore.
I say there's a load of stuff in there I've never known. There's some cool stuff in later episodes, like the Nintendo World Championships and the guys that won it and stuff like that when they were kids. And there's some cool stuff in there. There's loads of stuff missing, though. I think it's absolutely tons of stuff. Like I said, it's only six episodes. But there's so many things they don't talk about. It's just, I don't know, it's weird.
Well, I'm sure I've heard quite a lot of stuff going on through Facebook and Twitter with people watching this. So if it's proved popular enough, I'm sure they'll do a second.
Maybe.
Season, cover a bit more in depth.
Last episode is looking good, anyway. It's got John Romero in, spoiler.
Is he the zombie guy?
He's a Doom guy.
Cool. Oh,
yeah, I know exactly.
I'm thinking of George Romero. Sorry. Yeah. What kind of podcast is this?
Stuff and nonsense.
I haven't put anything else in there. Dave?
So I started watching The Joker, the movie. Hadn't seen it before. It was on, and then I jumped on here to do the podcast. I realized I hadn't actually seen it before. I don't know why. I thought I had, so I sort of overlooked it.
I haven't seen it.
It delves into like the origin story of the Joker. And it's It's basically before he is the Joker, it's the person behind it. And he's got sort of issues. He's got mental health issues and stuff like that.
He seems like such a level-headed chap later on.
But it was some like the is it Jacqueline Phoenix?
Jacqueline Phoenix's sister, I think.
No, but he plays it so well. Like it's really awkward to watch sometimes with how well he portrays like his mental health, and he's not a good person. He wants to be a good person, but he's not, but he can't help it. And it's really awkward. Like I haven't seen it all, but the missus just came in and said it was really good. I watched about an hour and a quarter of it. So
yeah, Dave, did you struggle with? I mean, he's an anti-hero.
Yes,
and so, I mean, I was very sympathetic with that character for quite a while, and I was actually like, I know he turns into a bad guy at some point. But God, I feel I just was compelled to just be like, I wanted to defend the guy half the time. I'm just like,
he's a bad guy for the right reasons, because he's treated poorly. The government is, he thinks he's a hero, doesn't he? That's the thing. Right. He thinks he's on the side of good. Oh, I suppose all bad people do, I guess. I don't know. I'm not a bad person, so I don't know. But
check with Fraser.
Yeah. he thinks he's doing the right thing, like right. in his own mind, but he's not. And like as an outsider looking in, you can see that he thinks he's doing the right thing, but you can see he's not. It's weird, but it's good. It's really good. And if you get a chance to see it, it's on Sky at the moment.
Yeah,
I forgot about that.
I'll just throw this out there. Do not expect to walk away from that movie feeling happy. it's dark and you don't leave that movie with a good feeling about anything, to be honest. other than, you know, that it was a really well acted movie, but I mean, it's the narrative that they tell. It's like, you just walk out of it. You're just like, ugh. And honestly, that's how I felt about Last of Us 2. You know, anti-hero things, and I won't try to spoil anything. I'm not going to go any further with it. But I mean, they're heavy, and when you walk away from it and you don't feel good about anything, it's like, huh, okay.
Yeah, I watched a movie a couple of weeks ago called The Iceman, which is with Michael Shannon, and it's all based around this sort of a mob hitman or whatever who ended up being arrested, you know, he got arrested in front of his wife or whatever, who had no idea that he was like this mob killer who'd killed like, you know, close to 100, had 100 hits or whatever.
Oh, wow.
And it's the same sort of thing. Like I read, and it's based on a true story, and I read up on him. And I mean, it's just, he became that way because he had such a horrendous childhood. Like, and I'm not going to go into detail, but it's that same sort of thing. Like my heart just goes out to the guy as a child. Right, who just had a dreadful father, and it's a story that I've heard before with other people as well. It's just a dreadful, dreadful childhoods lead to this awful, you know, adulthood, and so yeah, it's the same sort of thing. You're like, you know, well, it's not really like he's not really a hero, but you know what I mean. It's like it's tragedy, isn't it?
Mm.
Right.
Yeah, that's the right word, I think.
Yeah,
I forgot. I was saving Joker for when I had my Sky installed, which was supposed to happen on Thursday.
Oh, here we go.
Has it still not happened yet?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I forgot about that. Well, what happened was the guy turned up at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon with his ladders and that, and he was like, "Is that? Have you got a dish?" I was like, "Yeah, it's this one here, but it's no good." And like I said, I was going to obviously. I was like, "Yeah." So we were talking in the back garden. He was like, "Oh, I don't think my ladders are big enough." I was like, "Oh, really fucking good." So it's got to go here. And I'm like, he's like, "I think I could probably just get the wire to just go diagonally across the roof." I was like, "I'm not sure that's a good idea. I'm not an expert, obviously, but I don't kind of like the idea of a wire loose across the roof of my house. It gets quite windy up there. I can't see it."
Oh, that's just shoddy, isn't it?
Well, I've had one shoddy fucking dish put up already. I don't want another fucking shoddy job.
I think I'd do it with some.
So anyway, that'd be fine. It'd be fine. He goes, "Oh, I've got a phone with boss, blah, blah, blah." Another guy turns up with longer ladders. They have a chit chat. Need two guys with long ladders. So he's knocked on the door. "We're going to have to get two of us to come out. Probably be in the next few days, blah, 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 blah. You'll probably get a call from Sky in the next 5 minutes." Well, it was a bit longer than 5 minutes. They phoned up, yada, yada, yada. "Need two guys. We need to put specialists in, blah, blah, blah." I was like, "Ask me loads of questions about COVID, anyone with symptoms, blah, 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 all that sort of stuff. Anyone isolating, all that sort of shit." And then goes, "Okay, next date is 12th of September. I was like, "What the fuck? Why did you bother asking me about all the COVID symptoms when you can't get anyone here for like 3 weeks?" So waiting again for fucking Sky.
Don't say you're not paying them. You're not giving them money yet, are you?
I've paid £40 up front, which is the installation cost. Right. I ain't paying per month. So I'm not paying for my package. I've got access to my package via
How is the access to your package these days, Neil?
I'd be worried if I didn't have access to my package, to be fair. But I can watch my Sky TV on my I've got it on the Xboxes and stuff like that, so I can watch it on the big screen, but I don't get the full lot on there at the minute. So it's just a bit.
Lesson learned, Neil. Never pay for your service up front. Always pay after.
Well, like I say, I ain't paid for it properly yet. I've paid it. Normal installation is about 100 quid, but it was like, so I haven't had that yet. I'm waiting for because it was a non-standard installation, we're going to have to charge extra money. Yeah, well.
I think another 3 weeks. How many Sky people does it take to install them?
What's going on with the iPad? More than
I can tell you that.
Dave, you've got iPad news on there.
iPad news. Oh, right. Okay.
Oof, that's a good sound, right?
So, my daughter's iPad has stopped charging.
Mm-mm.
So, I thought, I've got Apple Care on this. When did I get the iPad?
Whoa. Just back up here. Talk us through your fault finding first.
Okay, well, so I've done a proper fault finding system. So I checked the cables, I checked the plugs, I've used different plug sockets.
Did you get a toothpick in the
restarted device? I gave it a squidge of air, and yes, I've put a dab of cleaning fluid on a cotton and wiped the cotton. Basically, what it is the contacts have been pushed in because she's been leaning it on the charger as she's been watching it, and now the charger contacts just don't hit the thing. And so technically I probably could take it apart, move the contacts or replace the whole thing, but I'm just like, I don't want to mess with it, so I've had to splurge out for a new one.
Are you going to have another iPad?
Yeah. When I really didn't want to splurge out
any money. Android knockoff that you could play Game Pass on.
What iPad can it be fixed? Is it not worth fixing, or what are you saying?
So the Apple Care just ran out. So instead of the 40 or 50 quid it would have been to repair the damaged charging port, it would be £270.
Yeah. Go check your back pages of your local rag and see if there's anyone around your area who does iPad repairs. Just see if
my next one is I'm gonna do that and then eBay it as slightly used.
Yeah.
Slightly broken doesn't fucking work.
My dad gave me his iPad, which was had a pooched battery. I was going to send it to Apple. In fact, I put everything through to do it with Apple, which was going to cost me about $200 or something like that, which was just on the cusp of okay, I could just about justify it. And then it turned out there was a guy who was just down the road from me. He goes, yeah, I can do it. And he did it for under $100, changed the battery, right?
So that's the next thing is, once I get the new one through, get it all set up on there, and then I'll go through the dodgy dealers around there.
Yeah, I mean, if you can save it and you've got you've bought another one, have you, for your daughter?
Yeah.
So if you can save the other one for 50 quid or something like that, then you can keep it by the side of your bed for checking.
Say no more. Maybe in the bathroom.
For 100 years, yeah.
Checking your stocks, places. Moving along. Greg, anything to add on the section for what we've... I don't even know what that section's called.
Yeah, there's no name for it. It's just there.
It's just stuff. What have you been up to?
Yeah, no, I mean, we kind of covered everything. I mean, I did enjoy High Score, so I definitely can say that is well worth the time. And aside from staying out of fires and smoke, I'm just nothing really going on. Just general crap.
All right, life. Well then... Life, yeah. Okay, well then let's try and do some games then. Greg, let's start you off if you've got, because we haven't got you listed in here. What have you got any games? Do you play video games?
I felt discrimination, by the way, because I wasn't able to type into it apparently, but that's okay. I've been actually playing quite a bit, and you're going to be happy to hear this, Fraser, on the PC.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I think we might know what you've been playing then.
I bet you don't. Phoenix Point has dominated my playtime this past week.
What is this Phoenix Point you speak of?
So Phoenix Point is made by the original developers of XCOM UFO Defense.
Oh, we should have known.
Yes, yeah. So it's a knockoff XCOM game. It's really good. And it's on PC Game Pass, just saying.
That was it.
Yeah, yeah. So it's very similar to XCOM 2. But one of the things, the big difference is instead of that side view ant farm as your main base, you actually can establish several bases across the continent and set up, in a sense, kind of forces at each base to then try and deal with threats nearby. So you kind of are building out more of an army than in XCOM, where you just have kind of your one strike force. So that's the real big difference, okay, I think, in terms of the management. All the enemy types are different, but you'll see a lot of similarities. You know, same kind of upgrade paths for your character soldiers, and it's all permadeath. So once they die, they're dead. But it's good, and it does use like destructible cover, that kind of thing as well. So you know, you can be behind cover and it can be shot out from you, and then you've got to move your soldiers. So that has dominated, but I also have played and executed a successful flight in Microsoft Flight Sim over my house.
Yay. Yay. Who hasn't? Everyone is playing.
Yes, that's the first thing you do. It's the first thing you do. But yeah, no, I quite like Flight Sim.
Have you had the live weather on? Considering what's been going on over there, then
I did, and it did not make a difference on my end because it basically just showed kind of hazy skies. It wasn't smoke filled, which I kind of was expecting. And I did that, I was like, I wonder if this is a good idea. If I'm trying to see my house, it's going to make it awfully tough. But yeah, no, I set up a flight, and I actually did this right before the podcast. I flew from. Oh God, it was not Columbia. Oh, I'm drawing a blank on the stupid Yuba City. I flew from Yuba City down to Mather Air Force Base. Basically, it kind of took me in a line over kind of where I live in California, and so it was fun. And I like. Oh God, I don't know. I wasn't flying a Cessna. I upgraded the plane a little bit, but it's interesting when you go to different plane types. The smaller planes I find are actually much more difficult to keep kind of on a stable path.
Yeah.
They're a lot more touchy. But yeah, no, I just, I took it out for a nice Saturday flight. I don't know what day it is. I mean, I landed no problem. that's the big, achievement right there. Cause I thought I was going to crash.
I've had a few crashes.
I'm sure we all have. Did you go through all the tutorials, Greg, and do like?
I did the very first one, the kind of giving you the sense of the controls for the main flying. I wanted to. Well, when I first did it, I only had a gamepad, and I quickly realized, as much as I like gamepad play for the flight simulator, it's a little too touchy. Just the slightest of movements on those sticks, and it seems like it's extreme. So,
yeah, it's engine flying. Yeah,
yeah. But
apparently,
I
you can adjust the sensitivity somewhere in the menus, which might help with that if you're playing on a gamepad.
Yeah. Well, I actually have a flight stick. I just hadn't brought it out yet, so I pulled the flight stick out this morning, and let me just say, that is the proper way to play this game.
Yeah. Okay.
The flight stick makes a world of difference, and I just have the Thrustmaster HOTUS one for Xbox and PC. I can plug it into my Xbox. I can plug it into my PC. Works perfectly well. Yeah. Yeah. So I was totally impressed.
Yeah, I saw a story that they're going to reckon to be something like $2.6 billion worth of hardware sales based on this game. Basically, people buying HOTUS sticks.
I believe it.
And rudders.
I started looking. Well, and that's the thing, you know, the flight stick I got was only like $70 on Amazon.
I bet it's not anymore.
No, probably not. Probably not. And then the only other game I played, or unless you want me to wait, unless somebody
let's,
else.
Let's talk about it. Let's get Flight Simulator out of the way. Dave, did you play it?
Oh, I played a lot of it. Yeah. I've been deeply in Flight Simulator this week. I've put probably 8 or 9 hours into it. Although I do realize that this is a game that you want dedicated time, no interruptions,
yeah,
especially at the wrong time. And yeah, my household at the moment, I don't get that.
You can pause.
You can
pause. That's actually a good pause mode on it, at least.
Yeah, that's interesting you say that, because I was doing the training and there was, so I think for this, you're training on that Cessna.
Right.
I think the final one was to take off, bank to the left, and do that, and then come back in for a landing.
Do a circle, right? On your own, yeah.
And I had struggled with that. I couldn't find where it needed me to bank or whatever.
In the wrong place on the runway.
And I got told off. and my wife came down to talk to me at one point, and I was really like, you know what? I can't. I need to concentrate. I need to concentrate. Like, flying a plane is quite. No, I didn't.
Can you see? I'm trying to concentrate.
See, that's exactly when I was getting interrupted on that. Saying that, I did that sequence 4 or 5 times, and it's a good like 35-40 minutes to do it, and I got so frustrated with being interrupted. But once I'd done it, and that was fine. But it was the level of concentration that you need to sort of get the understanding right of, like, you know, getting up to speed, engine speed, up to the height that you need to be, bank to the left, keep your eye on the airport, make sure the wind's not blowing you off course. There's so many things, and like I finished it, and it was a really good sort of my accomplishment of actually doing it and completing it, and going, actually that was really hard, and that's a sort of a testament of how good this simulation is because it's not just a flight. There is so many things that the simulation is simulating, the wind, the engine, the heat of the engine, your trim, your keeping the aircraft stable, because that's really
minor things.
Yeah. Have you seen the full list of commands that are available for this game? It's like about 5 pages long. I was like, I didn't know there was that many keys on my keyboard.
Have you seen the new controller they made for this? So they actually made a new Thrustmaster controller for this. Okay. That simulates like the airline.
The Airbus simulator.
Yeah, the Airbus. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, good God.
I want that.
So you not ordered it yet then? I had a really interesting flight earlier today. Because I've done most of the training. I think I struggled with that last training one. And then I was just like, I've just been fucking around flying all over the place. Went to Christ the Redeemer in my pit special. And that's a real twitchy little plane to fly, that was for sure. I don't know if I've got, because I had a problem with this hit, like dead zones on my sticks. I don't know if that's not helping. It's probably not helping. But it seems well twitchy all the time, every plane. But today I've set up a route from Biggin Hill, South London, up to... what is it? Tower Bridge. There's a cluster all along the river of stuff in London. And then I flew up to some other air base. I can't remember now. Something stable for
the bridge in the
north of London. And I tried to fly through Tower Bridge. I was like, yeah, I'm definitely going through. Took a screen print as I was flying just before I flew. Next screen print was, you crashed.
Yeah.
So that didn't work first time. So I did that again. And again. And when I finally finished it, I did my little tour, and I did the click on the air traffic. I was answering all the air traffic control issues and everything. Yeah. And then I was like, request landing at this place, just get into the flight pattern, did all that, landed. I was like, yes, got an achievement for landing after following all of the correct processes. And then it was like, taxiing along the runway, it was like trying to get to my parking space.
Yes.
And I was in the ATC menu going click, 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 click. And I was like, I can't turn my plane at the same time. And then I crashed into a tree. And I was like, oh, bollocks, after all that. But, yeah, it's well good, isn't it?
It's very well made. It's
technologically very impressive, yeah.
Yeah, I was very impressed.
I've done the Grand Canyon. I've done sort of a flyover London. Where else have we gone? I've gone the island hopping over Scotland, from Edinburgh to the Western Isles. It's you're limited by where you can think of.
What's the deal then with it, people getting together and flying on this? Because I've only played by myself. Right?
Okay. It's you just need to be friends, like on Xbox.
Okay. Yeah. So can we all set a time and then
set it up group only, and then you can like invite people in. Yeah. I don't know if there's a limit on how many.
I'll try and fly in formation.
I saw a stream and there was about 5 people in the same event flying around. One in an Airbus, and then everyone else in little Cessnas, and this guy in the Airbus flying around like 10 times faster than everyone
else. It's really, really good. I mean, like this, like the detail in the Cessna, floored me. I was like, It looks so good. And the way that the thing bounces around in the air, and you just feel like you're in a crappy little airplane. And then I decided, okay, I set to take off from Toronto, and I thought I'll go sweep over my house or my town. And it's like, you know, choosing the airplane. And I thought, well, I'm not going to go in the Cessna. I'll go in. And then I saw that there was like a 747 or something was available. That's not happening. And I was like, literally, right. I'm not doing that.
No, I looked at that and went, I'm not ready for that.
No. I can't do that. So, but I went in a turbo, double turbo prop or whatever it was. And actually, I wish I'd gone in the Cessna, because the Cessna is easier to look out the window.
That was the same thing. Although I tend to fly in third person versus first person.
Oh, I didn't find that button.
Yeah.
You just two window buttons on your Xbox controller, whatever that is.
I'll find it.
I didn't know that was a button. If you use your mouse like above, there's a sort of hot bar at the top. If you drag your mouse up to it, you can choose camera up there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll have to fire that up again. I mean, it is a simulator. That's the thing to take away from it. Like, it's a simulator. It's not a...
Yes.
I do wish they had a little bit more game to it. I will say that. And maybe that's in the challenges area.
I think I did one. There's a landing challenge or something. It's not very long, but it's like score-based. So depending on how accurate your flight is, is and where you land on the run points. So,
do you remember how many points you got for that?
There's weekly challenges on that sort of thing. I got 700.
Okay, that's probably more than me.
I didn't get that on my first go, put it that way.
I'd won a go and went, I'll try that again later when I've had a bit more practice.
When you've not been drinking.
Funnily enough, drinking and flying a plane is not brilliant sort of combination.
Yeah,
I don't think there's any combination of anything you can take for it, because I can speak for another sort of stimulant, and that you have to really concentrate. It's like, this isn't as relaxing as I thought it would be. It's okay when it's an autopilot. When she was an autopilot, I was like,
I did a whole flight on autopilot the other day. I was like, I'm going to fly from Luton Airport to Schiphol Airport. And I started the flight, and it was just all over the place. I was like, fuck this. Stick it when I open it. It landed it for me and everything, and I got on it.
Oh, fuck.
Nice.
I chose autopilot, and the plane just...
Like, you flew over 300 miles. I was like, cheers.
The plane just took a nosedive. Like, oh, I'm not never pressing that button again. So, never.
Okay. Flight simulator is good.
It is, but expect it to be a simulator. Don't expect it to be some, you know, light on sim, heavy on gameplay. You know, it is all about the sim.
There are
a few like options to turn. Like you can turn off crashing basically. So instead of crashing, you just bounce.
Just what every plane should do.
Preferably.
What do we got next? Sorry, somebody's trying to call me. I'm going to have to just text them and tell them to piss off.
Greg, did you have anything else before we move?
Well, I have... We can take in either order you want, Battletoads or Avengers Beta.
I've done both of those as well.
Yeah.
It's up to you.
Let's do the Avengers Beta. I kind of hated it.
Where are you playing on Xbox?
I was playing on Xbox on a 1X.
It
wasn't the performance side of it. I think it was more kind of how they were handling the characters. My fear is it's going to be a lot of you play a little bit as this character, and then they jump you into another character, and then they jump you into another character. And I just kind of wanted to be able to play as either the Hulk or Thor. Hmm. I found Iron Man to be extremely boring.
Just like in real life.
Yeah, I love Iron Man as a character, so do you take that back? But in this game, he was boring. It didn't feel great, whereas Thor and Hulk felt pretty good. And so I don't know. I'm fearful of the way they're going to handle playing as the different characters. And I wasn't overly wowed by the crash because it literally froze up on me and crashed, and I was like, oh, that's fuck not... this game. Yeah.
Great. Well, I've been playing on PC.
Okay.
And technically, like graphically, very impressive. I find it really unintuitive to work out what's going. Like when I was trying to set up, like past the initial mission where you get to get a little taster of everyone, don't you? And sort of an opening encounter. And then I was like, you just jump into this new scenario. I was like, is this the way the game's going to be? Or am I jumping around like in a sort of time-wise? It doesn't seem to flow particularly well. And then I've got the main sort of campaign is reassemble, it says. So it says you've got to get the Avengers back together. And I start off, I'm playing as Kamala Khan, Miss Marvel, and then I've got the Hulk with me, but I can't control the Hulk. I can't switch to the Hulk. I'm playing as Miss Marvel, and that's it. And I'm like, I feel like I should probably be able to just switch to the other guy if there's me on my own, if there's two of us in a mission, but no, it doesn't work like that. It's a lot of odd choices, I think.
Yeah. But
it might turn out to be quite a good game at the end. I don't know. It just is odd because you can never really judge it on a beta. But
I think what's more concerning to me, and I don't know who it is, but it's the little girl. Is she actually a character? If you look at like the screenshot,
Kamala Khan, Miss Marvel.
Is she Miss Marvel?
The one with who goes big.
All right. I did not get that far into the beta, so I didn't recognize her.
I'm not a huge Marvel or comic guy, to be honest, but I've heard enough about it to know who she is now. But yeah, she's quite irritating as well with her little quips as well. But yeah, I don't know. It could turn out to be quite good. It's you unlocking bits to improve parts of your body and stuff, aren't you? So, well, if you're Hulk, you get a new spine and you get a new wrists or something. I can't remember. It's all, I don't know. They've obviously tried some sort of progression system in there,
right,
to make you keep playing probably the same things over and over again. I get the feeling there's probably not going to be a lot of missions and you're going to be doing the same ones like Destiny. Like you play the same bits over and over and over and over. But I don't know. There could be an all right single player campaign that might take 10 hours and then you might get into it. And if you get a group together, it might be fun. But on your own, I don't know.
Yeah, it's
not going to be.
I wasn't wowed. I'll just leave it at that. I mean, and I've heard many, many people talking about it being a bug-ridden demo. And I, of course, experienced that firsthand. I mean, it just it locked everything up. It wasn't just even it didn't crash back to the desktop. It locked my whole system.
Well, did you have to unplug to get it to work?
Yeah, no, I literally had to power down the entire thing and then boot up an old boot.
That's wow. Funny.
But yeah,
I haven't had anything like that yet, touch wood.
Yeah,
but I played quite a bit of it for today. I was like, oh yeah, it's all right, but yeah, it's all right. It's not anything much more than that, I don't think, at the moment.
Yeah, I'm less angry now about Spider-Man being exclusive on PlayStation.
Well, it turns out Spider-Man's the best character by an absolute mile,
probably
there,
son of a bitch.
So Battletoads then, do you want to talk about that?
I had low expectations, and when I first started it, I think those low expectations were being met. I really wasn't, you know, I was kind of like, I'd heard some people talk about the humor, and I was kind of like, okay, you know, maybe that'll be a redeeming side of this game, but I started up and I was like, okay, this is, it's not terribly funny, but as I got into the game a little bit further, the humor actually seemed to pick up and be a little bit better written. Because I mean that opening sequence, it felt very much like a kiddie kind of game, very family friendly humor, and I was kind of like, all right, well. But as I got a little further into it, it took a little bit more of the trying to think of the equivalent. I don't want to say Family Guy, but I mean it had some of that a little more adult geared humor. It's better written. It's okay. It's a.
What is it?
It's really beat 'em up, but it's a mishmash of a lot.
Mishmash of stuff. Did you play the original?
I did not. No, so I don't have any point of reference. Yeah.
No, me neither. I thought it was better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. I don't like side-scrolling beat 'em ups, and this game kind of reinforces that fact that I don't like side-scrolling beat 'em ups. But fortunately, those sections are not terribly long, so you move into other little mini games that they incorporate in with it. And I thought it was actually pretty clever. One of the very first mini games they built into it is all talking about these side jobs that the Battletoads are taking while they're in this new reality. And I found that just funny for whatever reason, you know, and they were just little mini games to get each character through the little side jobs they were doing. And then it goes into a whole new section of gameplay. I think it goes into the racing section, but so far so good, better than I expected. It's not winning game of the year, that I can say.
Definitely not. As a side-scrolling beat 'em up go, the actual beating part of it is all right, I think.
Yeah, it's more challenging than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, it's a bit tricky. It definitely gets hard. Yeah. I think that was what it was kind of renowned for back in the day, wasn't it? It was quite a hard game, I think. Yeah. I don't know. I never played it. But yeah.
I know.
Fair than expected.
Yeah, it is a good Game Pass game in that sense of, like, you know, being included on Game Pass. Take a chance on it. You're not going to feel, you know, like you got swindled out of money. I think if I paid, I don't know what they're asking for. Is it $20? Something like that?
I have no idea.
Anything more?
I don't even know if they are asking for money for it.
Anything more than 20 would be robbery, though. I think I would be a little angry. But yeah, it's all right. It's all right.
Yeah, it might be all right if you can play like three players, can't you, at the same time? I've not tried it with that. So yeah,
stupidly, for whatever reason, though, it's only local co-op. I don't understand that. So there's no online co-op for it.
Yeah, like I've seen like kids kind of like it. So if you've got a couple of kids at home, they might. Yeah. They probably beat each other up at the end of it, anyways.
Out of frustration.
I don't see any other game. Well, you've got The Tourist on there. I'm just going to just say, I just don't see if anybody has any other games. I'm looking forward to Neil talking about ODST. Is there anything else before we get on to something?
I haven't played a lot of ODST.
Oh. I fired up ODST not long ago.
I played all the way through ODST. So
I finished it on Legendary back when it came out.
Oh, look at you.
I know.
Finish it on Legendary.
Yeah. I loved it. Well, yeah, but actually there's a point in it, I think, where you can... Was it that or Reach? I don't know, anyway, it doesn't matter. It's hard. But I went back to it, and I was just... I shouldn't have gone back to it. I should have just kept my rose-tinted spectacles on. Not that I'm saying it's a bad game. It's just... I'm a bit haloed out.
I did not care for ODST. It was not one of my favorites. I would actually rank it low on my favorite list, and that was just because of the time. To me, it was a very rushed game.
After Halo 3, wasn't it?
It was after Halo 3,
ODST.
It just felt like they rushed it out to have a Halo game come out. And when I got, you know, I was told, oh, you're going to play as an ODST. And honestly, that excited me, because I think one of the characters you never hear about, but they're actually pretty awesome, are the Dropshock Troopers in Halo. And so I was like, oh, it's going to be way different. And then it was basically Halo.
Yeah. It was except you're not as strong.
Yeah. Well, you're not quite as tall. I think that was the thing that was their thing, is your perspective is going to be slightly different because you're not as tall as Master Chief. And I'm like, really? That's what you're leading with.
They were good for shorter.
Yeah. I really liked it at the time. I just think going back to it, I suddenly realized how claustrophobic the levels felt.
Well, it looks really nice on PC, I can tell you that. Because I've been playing it on Steam. It's not out yet, obviously. This is like a what they call flighting. So I'm a Halo insider, but only on PC. Ooh. So I played a bit of... What was the last one I did? Halo 3? Yeah, it was Halo 3, wasn't it? And then this one now. So the next one that comes out on PC, Master Chief Collection. And it's like running at a much higher resolution than it obviously was originally on.
Right.
But they haven't done a full remaster.
Yeah.
So it's not got textures. So it's like the sort of outlines are better, but it still looks a bit old, if you know what I mean. It's like it's like playing an old PC game on a modern PC. You get much better resolution, but you're not getting the best. Like, it's not the equivalent of playing a modern PC.
Yeah, that's one thing that always baffles me. People are getting all excited about, the resolution's better. The textures are still garbage, but the resolution's better. So you're just like reminded just how crappy the game actually looks.
It's much better looking garbage, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, definitely. I think they've done a bit more of it with the One X version. I think that's got extra lighting and stuff. I think that the things that you pick like that better are the lighting and the resolution does make a difference. You definitely notice it versus playing it back in. But yeah, the textures they don't look shit, but you can tell it's not a modern game, if you know. What I mean. But it was set to legendary, so. Really fucking hard and just kept dying as well, which didn't help. So
I
ain't played too much of it because I just kept dying.
I'm trying to remember, did ODST introduce Firefight or was that Halo 3?
I think it might have been Firefight. ODST must have had some defining feature other than not playing as Master Chief. I think you might be right there.
Yeah, I think it was Firefight, and I think that was like, to me, that was one of the best things they possibly could have done for Halo in general, is create kind of that Gears of War Horde mode. And then they did away with it, I think, in Halo 4. They didn't.
Well, they had a different thing in Halo 4, didn't they? I can't think what they had now. Warzone.
Well, Halo 5, they brought out Warzone.
Yeah,
it was not the same. Bring back Firefight. I loved just being able to team
Maybe
up
they
with
will.
Some friends and just, you know, wave after wave. Yeah, that's where it's at.
Yeah, all these games always better with people, you know. So
not always.
Do we have any more games?
If you pick the right, obviously. Well, I did finish The Tourist.
Oh, okay.
Which I talked about last week.
Yeah, didn't you 1000G that?
I did. I got 1000 game score on that one. So that's two games of 1000. I haven't. I'm on a bit of a roll. I looked at the leaderboard on Xbox. I was like, why ahead of everyone else? Two games of 1000 cheated in the same month, which is nothing I've ever done before.
So I'm going to piggyback on that. 1000 G'ing, I never do it. However, a game everybody should be checking out just for something totally different, Maneater.
You have to buy
it. I really want to play that, but I don't want to pay for it. So
Get it on a sale. But it was so much fun.
That's going to be an epic. That's going to be an epic freebie.
I'm sure it will be. Yeah. I absolutely love that game.
Yeah, I do. I came very close to buying that when the hype was real. So, yeah, I definitely will play that at some point.
Is that basically Jaws Simulator as the shark?
Oh, it's way more crazy than Jaws.
Yeah, no, it is. You're basically evolving yourself to a mega shark, basically, and it's there's something satisfying about being that shark.
Okay, so I think that covers us for games then.
I think so.
All right. We don't have a news jingle.
Jingle.
We don't have much news either.
No.
All right. Well, look, let's wrap through the news and call it done then. I'm cool with that. What do we got, Neil? The news.
That's better. There's one news story related to a game we talked about earlier I'm going in reverse order on the news for you too, is the Mystery of Flight Simulator's 200-story Melbourne.
Yes.
App. I don't know if you've seen this.
This is awesome.
So if you can see some pictures, I don't know if they patched it out yet.
I hope they don't patch it out, to be honest.
In the middle of, hopefully not. There's a giant tower in the middle of Melbourne, which is clearly not correct. It is 200 stories high in the middle of a residential estate where everything else is two stories. And turns out that someone named, where are they? What were they named? Nathan Wright 120 edited on Bing Maps or OpenStreetMap.
I believe that is former employee Nathan Wright.
Put building levels as 212 instead of two. When Microsoft exported OpenStreetMap into Bing Maps or whatever they did to create the world maps for Flight Simulator, it was still an error. And yes, there is this giant building in the middle of Melbourne. Like something out of, I don't know, Lord of the Rings or something. Or what they say, Half-Life 2 Citadel is the thing they quote that as.
And where is it, in Melbourne?
It is odd. Melbourne, Australia. So everyone needs to go there quick before they patch it out.
Right.
I'm sure you can't miss it if you fly.
Yeah, I hope they keep it, and I hope they add it as a, what's it called? Not a focal point, but it called?
Whatever they're called. The sort of special locations. Maybe there'll be a special achievement, a 0G achievement for this one.
Melbourne North, eh? All right, I'll take a trip there later, I think. Let me see if I can go see it.
How great is that, though? You can just say, I'm just going to take a trip there.
Sure.
Yeah.
And you can make it any time of day, because it might be a bit dark there.
But yeah, it was good that it took a little while to track down why it was like that, wasn't it? But they'd found out through all the old data that this person, he did amend it, or somebody amended it, like after, but it was after the data scrape from Microsoft into Bing Maps. And yeah, there was a bit of a sort of a, why is this here and how was it here? And yeah, it took a bit of people searching up.
Someone has managed to land on it, apparently.
Yeah, you can land on it.
I don't know quite how they did that. But it's not very wide. So
yeah.
Get there before it goes, if you're playing. And finally, which was earlier today, Warner Brothers, there's this DC fandom thing going on today. I don't know if there's been anything more since, but Warner Brothers announced a new Batman game, but Batman's dead, so he's not in it, called Gotham Knights. And it has Robin, Nightwing, Red Hood, and Robin. Oh, sorry, Robin. Batgirl. Robin's not in it twice. The trailer starts.
I thought Nightwing was Robin.
News reports of. I don't quite know.
Isn't it Dick Grayson went off and he became Nightwing after Robin, but there have been multiple different Robins.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like multiple Spider-Mans.
There's a girl Robin too, right?
I don't know. I'm not a comic person. But yeah, the trailer starts with like news stories of a big explosion in Gotham City, blah, 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 and it's the Bruce Wayne's dead, basically. Obviously, they don't tell Batman's dead in the news reports. But yeah, it looks like Batman-y type game from what I can see, but with different characters. So,
yeah, they seem like they have different abilities. I was pretty encouraged by the trailer. You'll be able to play co-op, apparently. And you're not... I actually... This is going to sound horrible. At first, when I saw Batgirl, I was like, oh, here we go. Here we go. We have to make our social justice statement. We're going to make a game about Batgirl. it's actually four different playable characters. As far as I know, it's just four. But they all have progression. You know, so, you know, my guess is this is going to be a very long game if you're trying to 100% it. Because you'll probably have to...
Well, they're not... The other ones have been pretty long, I think.
Yeah,
they have.
I didn't finish Arkham Knight.
Yeah. I mean, it looks good, but it is Batman. You're right.
It looks pretty flashy.
Yeah. Is this, by the way, the Suicide game?
No, that is still a separate game.
It is a separate game. Okay.
Yeah. I was. Sure. I think that has got Batman in. I don't know. I'm a bit confused. But
maybe Batman dies at the end of that, leading into this.
Maybe. Maybe. Mate, is that out first? Because this isn't out till next year.
So. Your guess is as good as mine. I do not know.
Maybe. Maybe there is a link. I don't know. Because Superman will be in the other game as well, won't he? I think. I can't remember. What was the tagline? It was Suicide Squad, something about Justice League or something. Death to Justice League or something or other. So, yeah. Two sort of... Well, this one of versus Marvel. This kind of like a Marvel Avengers, you know, vibe from this kind of game, maybe, potentially.
Right.
So maybe, you know, this is the DC version of Avengers game. So,
yeah.
But with some sort of pedigree in making a decent superhero game. So
it is interesting that they announced both these games. Are they both being made by Rocksteady?
Well, there must be separate studios, isn't it? This is Warner Brothers. So Rocksteady is the Suicide Squad game.
Okay.
And this is Warner Brothers Montreal.
Okay.
Montreal. Are making this game, so I don't know what the technical difference is, but
and is it Warner Brothers? There they owned by AT&T.
Hopefully, it's good.
I'm painting a picture here. They're pushing these games out now. They're like, get them out now because we're going to sell off Warner Brothers.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know how all these who owns who and all that sort of stuff when it comes to all this. It's all very complicated for me. I have a simple brain.
All right. Batman. Great.
Yeah. Hey, so one other news story, and I don't know if you guys talked about it last week or not. I don't know if it was out yet or not, but did you hear about Epic suing Apple?
Yeah.
I did touch on that last week. I mean, you did say you listened to the show, Greg, but...
Well, had they filed the lawsuit?
I think they just... It was all going quite quick.
Yeah, I know that they had been taken off the store, and then Epic, you know... put up their brilliant, by the way, trailer, taking the piss out of Apple. And then I think it was this week they filed a lawsuit against Apple talking about their...
I think since then, Apple threatened to remove all Epic...
Oh, is that all Unreal Engine games?
Unreal Engine games.
Which is not obviously just Epic stuff.
So Epic kind of went, oh shit, shit's got real.
Which would be interesting if they do that, though, because then, I mean, Apple's playing a dangerous game there, too, though, if you think about that, because they're punishing not just Epic, they are punishing every other developer and publisher out there. I mean, you talk about a crazy lawsuit that suddenly gets a whole bunch of companies involved.
But on the flip side, aren't all these companies and people using Unreal Engine, aren't they just putting their products on iPhone, Apple, like at their leisure? Like, do Apple have a responsibility to allow this stuff on there, or can they just pull the plug?
Well, it's the same with like
that
Twitter and everything. It's like they own the platform at the end of the day. They can do what they like to a certain extent, can't they? If you break their terms and conditions, you're going to get booted off.
Right. But
they really want to block all Unreal Engine stuff? I don't know. That seems like a lot of things are using Unreal now.
Well, one of the things in the US we talk, you know, they have laws against monopolies. And that's where we start getting into a little bit of that water where they don't like companies having kind of a stranglehold. And that's why Amazon actually is facing a lot of flack right now because they kind of have this hold on all online stores. You know, it's Amazon and nobody else.
Yeah, well, on the flips, with Amazon, yeah, definitely. But with Apple, they can just sort of go back and go, well, there's Play Store. If they want to do stuff, go on to the Google Store. Right.
I guess the question comes.
And then on Apple, on these devices, you've only got one place to go for.
Right.
From what they can say, people knew that was their choice when they had these devices. It's not ever been a case of you buy this device and you got access to multiple different places to buy apps and, you know, content from there. So, yeah, there is a you know, you can't have a monopoly. But at the same point, Apple's defense would be like, well, the monopoly
you
is...
You don't have to buy an Apple device.
You don't have to, yeah. But buying an Apple device, you're signing up for, and people know that you can only buy from this store. So
and some people champion it, say that is a good
plenty of people that champion it.
Thing.
Yeah.
I think
Google have taken Fortnite off the Play Store, but you can still there's still a way to get Fortnite on your Android device because they allow you to sideload things.
Right. Well, you just go directly to Epic, and
so you can still get the current version of Fortnite on an Android device.
You can't get that on an Apple.
But it would be a bit of a faff. But there's no way to do that on the
unless you jailbreak it.
So, but then it probably wouldn't work anyway. I don't know how it works behind the scenes in terms of, obviously it's a network connected game. I assume you're going through some sort of Apple servers if you're on an Apple phone.
It's like I'll give you an example, and this is how I see it. Right, it's like being on a PlayStation 4 and going, oh, I can't buy an Xbox game on this device. And then and then people go, no, because you're on a PlayStation and you bought a PlayStation and you know you can only buy PlayStation games. Oh, I know, but I want to play an Xbox game off the Xbox store. What's the difference? And I know a lot of people say, well, the difference is you're on a PlayStation and not on an Xbox and you shouldn't expect that. And that's kind of like the same as the
eyes. Well, it is the same. That is exactly what you're talking about, isn't it?
But they're the same games on different platforms. Yeah. You can buy the same game.
You're not getting an argument out of me from that standpoint. I think Apple is in a good position to weather this. But it is interesting because, let's face it, this is the same kind of scenario. Remember, Epic was the company that forced crossplay. You know, they accidentally flipped the switch on PlayStation.
Heavily implied quotation, right. Accidentally. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think they were hoping this would be the same kind of scenario of them accidentally flipping the switch on their internal monetary system that avoided Apple, that it would just...
I don't think there's anything accident about this. I think
this was clearly all planned. Yeah, they knew exactly. They'd obviously been... stuff going on behind the scenes before this all came out, because they had that ad ready to go literally within minutes of it all coming out.
They were prepared for this.
Exactly. They knew what was going on and it was all ready to go. Yeah. And this whole free Fortnite campaign, they're trying to...
I wonder if this just is Epic trying to get a better deal from Apple. Ultimately. You know, it's not that they think they're going to win this, but they want to get the better deal from Apple.
Yeah. But I don't know, they might end up kicking themselves because it'll get worked out one way or another. And
the way right now is...
I can't believe Apple don't really want to lose that Fortnite money they're potentially getting.
Well, that's it. Apple are looking at it and going, right, okay, this is how much they bring in. If we don't allow it, how much are they not going to bring in? Right. But if they then do allow it, or if they do make a compromise on it, what are they standing to lose? And so, you know, it's all about money. They're looking at it across the board. So,
well, it's all about money. This is 100% about money. But the thing is, if they do make the exception to Epic, then it opens the door to everybody else to say, well, if they can get that deal, we should be able to get that deal. And then they can actually bring a legitimate lawsuit to the feet of Apple. For unfair practice. So it is a can of worms for Apple in a lot of ways.
It's the same for Google, though. They're doing the same. They've kicked it off of Google Play, and they've basically... Yeah. The thing for Epic that's gone a bit down Swanee is they were going for Apple, and Google have done exactly the same. So Apple have got like a partner in crime, as it were, with two huge operators of mobile devices. Like, I don't really think there's anyone anywhere near... Well, there is no one anywhere near the two of them to put together, is there? So Epic don't want to lose that money altogether, do they? So
I mean, Samsung actually is a huge maker of mobile devices. But they use the Android operating system. So I mean, it's a weird situation.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Anyway.
You're welcome. I just derailed the whole new segment.
No, that's good. It's content, Greg. It's content. You more than anyone should know that content is good. So, okay. Well, look, let's, if you guys are okay, let's wrap it up there. We're coming in at just under a couple of hours, so that's wonderful. Greg, do you want to pimp yourself out? Everybody, I mean, we should have done this at the start, I guess, but.
Greg DeLacy, gamer tag is Murphy's Law. I am an OG Xbox Live gamer tag. I've had it for 16 years now, 17 years, something like that. It's crazy. I am OC underscore Murphy's Law on Twitter. Follow me at your own peril. Fraser knows that. I am part of the Overseas Connection podcast, so a loving member of the VG Hub community, and I will also say just a real quick shout out, most importantly, for our good friend Gary Lieber. So Fraser, by the way, well done. Very touching comments from you regarding Gary. We have an Extra Life set up for Gary. It is going strong. We're basically throwing all of our support for him this year to raise money on his charity donation drive, and so far we're up over $1,500, $1,547 so far. So it's been awesome to see, and that will continue on through November when we do the actual drive. But if you're curious, I would love to donate in memory of Gary Lieber. That's all you have to search for on Extra Life. You'll find him, or take the easy route, go VG Hub, and you'll find us. And okay. That's everything. That's me pimping.
Good. I need to get the dates for the for when you guys do that. I mean, I historically don't do it, but I always like to. Now, you know what? I've been sort of. I shouldn't even say this because I'm going to end up having to do it. I have. The thing about it is, like, the thought of doing anything for 24 hours just scares me senseless.
As it should.
I've done it once, and it was hard. It was very hard.
Yeah.
But I actually have, because of COVID, I have unused holidays. So I'm thinking maybe I might take the days off and do a 24-hour music DJ stream. I don't know if I'm not going to play video games.
Christ, 24 hours of... that sounds...
24 hours of banging techno. God, can you imagine?
Isn't that just put Radio 1 on for, like...
Yeah, Radio 1.
There's so many ways to cheat. I've got, like, I've got one record by The Orb that runs for 45 minutes. That is definitely getting played.
See Fraser's slumped over, sleeping away. Yeah, no, I will say this. The Extra Life drive, when you do it, everybody thinks, oh, 24 hours of gaming. No, that's no big deal. You hate games by the end.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, so I've done it now 12 years in a row. This will be my 12th year.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Damn. So I.
You are the man.
I'm behind it. It's a great charity. But you get to the end of it and you loathe games. You're just like, I just want to get through this. Although I will say last year was probably one of the easiest I've ever had. It was, I think, because of the games I was playing. It's a lot of multiplayer, co-op. They went by. I was better prepared, I guess. But the year before that, I struggled. Right around 3 o'clock in the morning, I was just spewing vile. I remember Mike Chin came in and he's like, "You okay, Greg?" I'm all, no, I hate games right now. He's like, I can tell.
Yeah. Man. Yeah, I don't recommend playing Call of Duty more multiplayer or something like that. That would just drive you insane.
It does, but also it's actually kind of, I think, a good game because it's constantly keeping you on your toes. You don't really get that down. The worst thing is the downtime game. So I would never recommend any turn-based stuff unless it's early. You need to be fast paced, and having to think about teammates, that kind of thing helps.
Well, so. That doesn't sound like a Call of Duty game, to be honest. Teammates, no, they don't exist in Call of Duty.
Well, no doubt, if we even if we don't get to do it, we will be there to support you. I love jumping in and playing. That's almost that one time of the year where I know I'm going to be playing games with people that I haven't played with for a while. So it's always great.
Yeah.
No. There's going to be a ton of games available this year, though.
True.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Game Pass and stuff like that. So
it'll be fun. Maybe get some PUBG in.
Boy. We'll get Neil to load it up again and we'll play some customs. All right. Okay. I'm gonna pull the curtains down. Greg, thanks very much for joining us. It's an absolute pleasure, man, to have you again. It's been too long since we had you on. I think I'm sure I don't need to speak for the boys, but I'm sure they've enjoyed your company too. It's been great.
Indeed.
Hey, I appreciate it. And anything I can do to make the show better from last week, you know.
Thanks, man. Thanks. Yeah. You pulled us out of the dumpster fire that was last week. We're eternally grateful. But anytime, just give us a shout. You ever want to come back?
Absolutely.
All right. I'm not sure if we are going to have a show next week that counts as our sort of three-on, one-off for next week. I'm actually away on holiday, so... I definitely won't be recording the normal time. We'll chat. Shall we?
We'll sort it out.
Yeah,
I'm off work for the next 2.5 weeks or whatever. So
we'll chat.
What I'm hearing is I just killed your show.
For 2 weeks, we'll be back. Yeah. Phoenix from the Flames. All right. Okay.
Number 50 next week. Ooh, next time.
That's right. Actually, so I think maybe probably next week we'll have a week off and we'll get. So we'll start thinking about what we want to do.
We'll make sure it's a good one for 50.
Yeah, or maybe we'll just do another show as normal.
Unlike 49, yeah, I hear that.
That's not what I meant. I meant it'll be a tired 50 if we do one next week.
Whatever. I can see it now. Invite Mike back. Bring back Mike.
Okay, gents, thanks very much to everyone who's listening. Thank you very much, and we will see you soon.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Bye.